I've lost so many AirPods.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_beeble. We're going to be looking back at a really busy Thursday, 8 games in the NBA, and then previewing the 6 games for Friday for DFS. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. We will start where we always do at this portion of the show, and that is with
Monstrous line of the night.
The monstrous line of the night goes to Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers. Only 28 minutes in a big win over the Nets. 39 points with 13 rebounds, 3 triples, 6 assists, 3 steals and a block. He shot 60% from the field. He was 12 of 16 from the free throw line. He is your 7th best fantasy player this season, the 4th best guy in the last 3 months, averaging 29 and 14 in 34 minutes. 2 blocks, and still has room to improve in that field goal percentage, where he's at like 49% for the season. Get that to 52, 53, then he does remain pretty comfortably as a top 5 guy for this season and many, many seasons to come. He's already played 62 games this season. Chance to push, not quite to 70, but getting pretty up there. This is already, he's one game away from the 63 games that he played last season, so it looks like it's going to be another successful outing for Joel Embiid, whose dynasty value is locked in, it feels like, as a top 5 guy for the next 5 to 7 years, I would guess, with Embiid. But another strong performance from him here.
Waiver wire line of the night.
The waiver wire line of the night goes to the Duke, Wayne Ellington, of the Detroit Pistons. Now, 31 minutes for Ellington, 25 points, which included 7 triples, no rebounds and no assists. That's pretty hard to do unless you're Nick Young. He also had 3 steals in that game as well, and he has been a very strong 3-point streamer pretty much his entire time in Detroit, where he's averaging over 3 threes per game. He does very little else apart from that. But if you're looking for a bloke who's going to hit 3 threes per game, Ellington is that guy that you can have a look at. Now, his minutes do fluctuate wildly. His last 6 games, 32, 31, 19, 20, 30, and 31 minutes. But he's had a 7 3-pointer game, a 6 3-pointer game, then 0 and 1, and then 4 threes, and then 7 threes. He's also giving you multiple steals in a few of these games. He also, amazingly, has not had one single rebound in the last 3 games and has had 3 total rebounds in his last 6 games and hasn't had an assist in the last 2 as well. So you're getting absolutely nothing outside of threes, and then when they come in bulk, you get points associated with that. And you're getting the occasional steal. That's what Ellington is giving to you. And that can be useful in the right scenario. He's not a must roster guy at all. They do have one more game left this week, the Pistons against the Blazers on Saturday, and then a 4-game week next week. So there can be some value there. But we all know that streaming in that stat is the most key way to go. And he's one of the most, one of the premier 3-point streaming options that are around. Guys, just a quick note as well, that when you are subscribing to this podcast, you should be checking out the new Himalaya podcast app, the best app that you can use to subscribe to this podcast. So check out the Himalaya podcast app. Let's go on to the deep leaguer of the night now. It is Stanley Johnson of the New Orleans Pelicans. With all the injuries in New Orleans, it was compounded today by the early exit of Darius Miller. Stan Johnson, he put up a decently well-rounded line. 20 minutes, 10 points, 2 triples, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals and a block. The minutes for Stanley have been up of late. They haven't been anything spectacular, but over the last 2 weeks, he's cracked into the top 170. He's played 20 minutes in 3 of the last 4 games and had double-digit scoring in those 3 games as well. 5 steals over the last 4 games. He's had 4, 2, 1, and 3 assists in his last 4 games, so providing some okay-ish type value, and with the likelihood of seeing Etuan Moore and Drew Holiday again this season, and we have to probably say Anthony Davis is going to be close in that boat as well. Johnson for 20 team leagues, 18 team leagues. There is some value. The problem is the Pelicans don't play Friday. They don't play Saturday. They do play on Sunday. But then again, they don't play Monday, Tuesday. So in your next 5 days, they play once. And that's going to go for some of their other hot waiver wire guys as well, like, of course, Christian Wood. But Johnson there with that really solid game for those 20 team leagues, but one game out of 5 days, I'm not sure that he's really going to be worth much of an ad in many formats because schedule is oh so important at this time of the year.
Young gun of the night.
Your young gun of the night is De'Aaron Fox of the Sacramento Kings. He's had a couple of struggle games over the last week, but big here. 25 points in 37 minutes as they narrowly fell to the Pelicans. 5 rebounds and 12 assists with 3 steals and a block. 11 of 22 from the field. Disappointingly, just 2 of 3 from the free throw line. That's an issue with him is his free throws. He's at 73% for the season. It's 72% last year. He's going to be up and down in that area. And he is the 44th ranked guy over the course of this season. A significant improvement from last year. Even on a per 36 basis, his numbers have risen significantly. 5 extra points per 36. 2.5 extra assists. 0.7 steals extra. An extra 0.7 rebounds per 36 plus a true shooting jump from 48 to 54 has all contributed to him being this solid top 50 guy. You don't think he's going to really move from this top 50 zone, but you would like those free throw numbers to improve over the course of the next couple of seasons. And I think they can. I'm not totally sold on, but I do think they can. His three-point shooting has also dropped off pretty significantly over the last month, just shooting 34% after starting the season relatively hot. Fox was your young gun of the night for Thursday. I tell a man's not hot. The dud of the night is Faten Wilbarton of the Denver Nuggets. Still rostered in 83% of leagues. He should not be. He is not a must-roster 12-team league guy. 29 minutes in the Nuggets blowout loss to the Rockets. 2 points, 1 rebound, and 4 assists. 1 of 6 from the field. You have to say that the hip injury is causing a problem with him. I was pretty down on him in the preseason. That has looked prescient at the moment, but I do obviously acknowledge the fact that the hip probably played some part in that. Since he's come back, he's 171st ranked player. That's not good enough for 12-team leagues. It's probably not even good enough for 14-team leagues at this point. He'll have the occasional flashy game, the outburst type of game. And he had scored in double digits in 7 consecutive games. It's just not doing enough in the other areas, hurting you in field goal percentage, not providing the assist level that he was at last year as well, which was a big key to his game where he averaged 4.1 assists per game. He's at only 2.6 over the last 15 games, along with 41% from the field, along with not getting to the free throw line, and steals and blocks are pretty low as well. It's really, really tough to consider him a must-roster 12-team league guy, and I obviously don't consider him that. The plus-minus goats, the shark, Bruce Brown. Baby shark, he was a plus 162.6. He's just getting 15 minutes a night. He's providing okay defense on the court. For fantasy, he is a long way off being a contributor. While for the Knicks, Lance Thomas was a negative 103.8, getting those minutes with Noah Vonleh injured at the moment. Really, neither of these guys are producing any fantasy value at all. Let's look at some injury news. Luke Marmute is out for the season. I can't believe it took us 80 games or 75 games to announce him as out for the season. He's played, I think, only 3 games this season and been out since October. OG Anunoby, who was cleared of a concussion, upgraded to probable, was then out for Thursday's game. That enabled more minutes for Norman Powell, Jeremy Lin, Paddy McCaw. No timetable on Anunoby at this point. It doesn't appear too serious. Torian Prince is having some issues in both of his feet, so he is doubtful for Friday. That makes him a drop and stream that roster spot. Joshy Richardson missed today's game with a heel issue. We don't know the severity, but the Heat are still pushing for a playoff spot, so if he's ready to go, he will be out there, no doubt. Josh the Hitman Hart is out for the rest of the season, something that I spoke about a few weeks ago, thinking that he is not going to be able to finish out this year, and that's obviously the case. While Pat Beverley said he'd be right to go, he wasn't. He didn't play with that hip issue. I don't think there's any sort of long-term concern there with Patty Beverley. For the other injuries, Nemanja Bjelica did not return in the second half with a stomach illness. Obviously, that's not a long-term concern. I do think that he might see his minutes reduced in these next couple of games to give Bagley some more run, although he struggled the last 2 games. Darius Miller left the Pelicans game with a thigh injury. He was only providing like 16-18 team league 3-point stream value. Well, the big injury news is Yanni Antetokounmpo. He did sprain his ankle at the end of the game against the Clippers, was not able to return to the court, but he has made it clear that he does plan to play through the ankle injury as long as the coaching staff lets him. My guess is the coaching staff won't let him and they'll give him a game or two off here, but there's nothing guaranteed there. That's going to boost the value of already your must roster guys like Middleton and Bledsoe, but it also helps guys like Sterling Brown and especially Paddy Connaughton and Ersan Ilyasova. Now, Connaughton had been sort of a fringe 12-team league guy, whereas Brown and Ilyasova are 14-teamers. They probably stay in that area. It just solidifies them in that spot. And again, I wouldn't be stunned if we see Jani do sit out a game or two here with this ankle injury, because he has had a few ankle issues over the past few weeks. And with the playoffs coming up, they're going to want to make sure that there's nothing untoward going on with his lower extremities. Let's get into these games now. Talk about them in a bit more detail across the NBA from Thursday, an oddly busy Thursday, as I mentioned earlier. The first one of those games was a blowout. It was the Orlando Magic getting beaten by the Pistons, 115-98. DJ Augustin still played 31 minutes and had 18-4-4. He remains a must-roster guy in most formats. Of course, taking into consideration schedule is really important. But with how Augustin's playing on a per-game basis, his numbers are making him a 12-team league guy at this point. At this point in the season, the Magic do have just the one game left this week, but they do have a four-game week next week. Aaron Gordon is strong in this one, 20 points with 3 rebounds and 4 assists there as well. While Vucevic, one of his worst games, 12-12, still a double-double. Johnny Isaac, the offensive production was well down, 10 points on 14 shots. While Terry Ross, I think we're better off streaming his spot at the moment. 10 points, 0 threes. You might get better value out of using someone like the Duke, Wayne Ellington. Speaking of the Ellington and his Pistons, just the one more game left this week on Saturday for the Pistons, but four next week as well. Thon Maker had another 2 blocks and hit 2 threes. That can be an interesting option in your deeper formats. Well, Ish Smith outplayed Reggie Jackson again. 15-4-6 for Smith. I like him as a 12-team assist streamer. I think Jackson's a pretty clear drop in 10s and 12s and maybe even 14-team leagues, although last game he played 31 minutes and put up good numbers. It's a little bit hard to gain or understand exactly what Dwayne Casey's doing with that position. The Duck, Luke Kennard, just a stream guy as well. While Blakey Griffin had 20 and 10, a strong Griffin performance. We're going to talk about things that are a little bit tough to get our head around. The Brooklyn Nets and their rotation can sometimes be difficult. They lost to the Sixers 123-110, but Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, out of nowhere, played 26 minutes. He had 19 and 10 in a big double-double. The last time he had a big game, which was about two or three games ago, the game literally straight after that, he was a DNP CD. He's been a DNP CD nearly all this whole time. But putting him some interesting numbers, he's at least a name to watch for deeper leagues, but that's it. Smoke and Joe Harris had 22 points. Dinwiddie had 13. While it wasn't a great game for D'Angelo Russell. We also saw Jarrett Allen play only 9 minutes. He was benched in the second half as Rondé took his spot in the starting lineup. Allen is a pretty clear drop in 10 and 12 team leagues, in my opinion. While Caris LeVert's looked good in each of the last two games, 18-4-3 in his 28 minutes. For the Sixers, General Saunders, just the 9 points for Jimmy Butler on 10 shot attempts, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals. Redick had 18, and Simmons had 16-4-8. Well, Toby Harris, his shooting is way off at the moment. 6 points in 35 minutes, 10 rebounds, and 4 assists. We thought he would take a hit in Philadelphia, and he has. This shooting, though, there is got to be some room for that to improve because he's well below Clippers' area in shooting, and it just feels like it's a really inopportune cold streak. Boban Marjanovic got some extra minutes with Embiid only playing 28. 18 minutes for Boban, 16 points with a 3 and 3 rebounds, but there's nothing really to see with him when we're looking at it from a long-term perspective. The next game that we take a look at is the Dallas Mavericks. They just narrowly lost to the Miami Heat, 105-99. Justin Jackson made another start. He played 33 minutes, and he had an interesting line, 14 points with 4 rebounds, 2 triples and 2 steals. That's okay for him. We know that he is up and down. Literally the game before that, he had 2 points in 17 minutes and then 9 points in 21 minutes. So he is a hit and miss guy. He is just a point stream sort of a player whose efficiency numbers, they vary quite a bit. The Mavericks have 1 game left this week and then 4 games next week as well. They play on Sunday this week, and they've got that Sunday-Monday back-to-back. My man Ryan Brokoff is an interesting deep league three-point streamer. Another 3 triples for him here. Doncic had 19, 8, and 7. While Dirk, 28 minutes for Dirk against Dwayne Wade in maybe their final matchup. 13 points with, or definitely their final matchup, 13 points for Dirk in his 28 minutes with 3 threes. While the burner, Jalen Brunson, the shooting was off, only 1 of 4 from the line. But 13, 3, and 4 is pretty okay. And I do think that he is worthy of a 12-team spot now. Can you hold on to that roster spot with zero games for the next 2 days? Most of the time, the answer to that's going to be no. For the Heat, they were without Justice Winslow. They were without Joshy Richardson. So Goran Dragic rejoined the starting lineup. I said this yesterday. I didn't think that his low minutes were anything to do with the minutes restriction. And he proved it here. 38 minutes, 23, 12, and 11. A triple-double with a steal and a block. Big numbers there from Dragic. Now, Winslow's been out for a while now. Dragic hasn't necessarily been putting up good numbers. In fact, he's really been struggling. His last three games, he combined for 11 points and 9 assists, and he had 23 and 11 in one game today. So to say today's a bit outstanding is accurate, but then the three games prior to that, 19, 26, and 22 points on at minimum 53% shooting. So he's all over the place in terms of production. It is hard to get a full grasp on him. If we want to look at it in adding him, you can. They play against the Knicks on Saturday. There might be value there, but Saturday's a decent volume day, so you might not even play him. And then they start off next week with two games against the Celtics on Monday and Wednesday in a four-game week, but they are tough opponents. He is interesting enough to look at on Saturday, but if you add him, will you even play him? Will you even have that roster spot? Wade had 11 points with four steals. He's providing 12-team league value, while Kelly Olynyk, I think, is a drop. Deion Waiters had 17 points, an inefficient 17 points, while Bam Bam Adebayo...
Bam! 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 Bam!
He had 11 and 16 with three assists, and he does remain a must-roster player, in my opinion. All right, the next game that we take a look at here... We've got the Toronto Raptors. They are taking on the New York Knicks. No Kawhi Leonard, no OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
So Pascal Siakam, as he does in these situations, went off 31-5-5 in a big 117-92 victory. Fred VanVleet was also good, 12-3-8 with a steal and two blocks. I think VanVleet is a 12-team league guy. Now, the Raptors have one more game left. It's against the Bulls on Saturday. But I think he'll get close to 30 minutes in that game. Will Kawhi be back? I've got no idea. You would assume so, but you also assume probably low minutes in that game. Kyle Lowry, only 25 minutes here. I think he will also be limited, while Mark Gasol and Serge Ibaka...
Oh, hi, Mark.
Both of those guys aren't 12-team league guys anymore. Pretty clear drops, in my opinion. Norman Powell had 11 with two steals and three threes. When Kawhi and OG are out, he can be a 14-team streamer. For the New York Knicks, it wasn't a revenge game for DeAndre Jordan, so Mitchell Robinson played 31 minutes, 19 and 21 for Robinson with a steal and two blocks. He is, I believe, a must-roster player. I think the majority of the games, again, you can never be sure with what Fizdale is going to do. The majority of games, he is going to get big minutes. They play again on Saturday for their second game of the week, and then a big four games the next week. So really some big opportunities for Robinson to put up some big performances. Mario Hezonja, only 21 minutes in a start because Lance Thomas played 18 minutes and Henry Ellenson got 9 minutes, as did Luke Kornet, but that was a lot of garbage time. I think Hezonja would have played more. Dotson had 9 points. He's only a 14-team league guy, while the Fort Kevin Knox had 9 points as well. Dennis Smith Jr. returned. He only played 20 minutes. He is not a 12-team ad, while his return limited Emmanuel Mudiay, who had 11 and 4 in 25 minutes. I think that they'll be really cautious with Smith's minutes here down the stretch of the season as he recovers from this back problem that kept him out for the last week and a bit. The next game up, we look at the Clippers and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Clippers, out of nowhere, Lou Williams was resting in this game, so that's obviously annoying, but it would open things up a lot for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. 32 minutes for Shai, 21 and 6, a steal and two blocks. This is why I've been frothing this guy really hard for most of this season. He's that opportunity and his ability to contribute right across the board. Now, it's been tough going a lot of the time with Doc's rotations and his limited abilities or limited involvement, but over the last 2 weeks, he's a top 60 player. Over the last month, he's a top 75 player. He is a must-roster guy. The Clippers, one of a few teams who have got a Saturday-Sunday back-to-back. Great value there. The problem then is next week they don't play again to Wednesday. Now, for some of you, that won't mean anything because your league is over on this Sunday. So Shai, I think, is a really strong ad with two games remaining this week. The Italian cock, Danilo Gallinari, had 14, 8, and 4 in his 24 minutes. Strong enough there. While baby neck Wilson Chandler got some extra minutes with Beverly and Williams both out. 15 points with 5 triples, and Landry Shamet returned. Did his best Duke Ellington impression by hitting 4 triples. He is a 3-point streamer, but great value for him, of course, across the weekend with that back-to-back. It was a shit Montrezl Harrell game. Only 20 minutes, 13 and 5. The Bucks limited him a little bit in this one. Nothing to really worry about long term. As for the Bucks, Chris Middleton was dreadful last game. Excellent here. 39 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists on 64% shooting. That's what I talked about in last game. It was an uncharacteristically terrible shooting night and it was going to rebound. I didn't think it would rebound to this level, but this was excellent. Yanni had 34, 9 and 5 and Bledsoe 15, 7 and 8. So all the big guns firing. Sterling Brown, another 15 points with 3 threes. He is an interesting deep league guy with all the injuries. While Paddy Connaughton, who'd been playing pretty well, didn't. 6 points with 5 rebounds in his 30 minutes. Again, if Yanni does miss though, his value increases, as does George Hills, as does Ersan Ilyasova. Both Hill and Ersan struggled a little bit in this one. The Kings lost to the Pelicans 118-121. Willie Cauley-Stein, 35 minutes for Cauley-Stein, 18 and 12 with 2 blocks. I think some of these extra minutes have got to be attributed to Harry Giles' absence because they're only playing Kostas Koufos 13 minutes. It also helped that Bjelica only played the 8 minutes, pushing Bagley more to power forward. But the last couple of games, the minutes have been up for Cauley-Stein, and yeah, he's providing at least some back end or side end 12-team league value. You can use him, assuming that what he does actually does help what your team brings. Buddy Hield, 27 points with not much else. Well, Bogdan Bogdanovic, who'd been playing 30 minutes a night, went all the way down to 19 minutes here. Now, the Kings do have a weekend back-to-back, so Bogdan and Cauley-Stein, they're going to have value there. And Bagley, even though the last two games haven't been great, 10-8 with a steal and 2 blocks, he does remain a must-roster guy. The Pencil, Harrison Barnes. Barnesy. 10 points on 10 shots, no other stats. This is just who Harrison Barnes is. Onto the Pelicans. Everyone loves them Wood. Try again. Everyone loves them some Wood. Christian Wood, 28 minutes, 25 points, 9 rebounds, 3 steals and a block. I said it was going to come down to if Davis was in or out. Davis was out. He dominated. I think that there is a realistic chance that we don't see Davis again this season. Now, Wood and the Pelicans don't play again till Sunday. So can you add him and hope that, you know, you don't need anything on that Friday and Saturday? But the way he's playing is that he's good enough to actually do that, because over the last 3 games that he's played, he, in one of those games he played 8 minutes in, he's the 17th ranked player in fantasy, averaging 18 and 6 with 2 steals and 2.3 blocks. 17th ranked player. He is worth grabbing in a lot of leagues, but again, it is, you're only going to get one more game out of him this week, and if Davis plays, the production is likely to be muted. Randall had 34 and 10, while Jahlil Okafor started for Davis, had 12 and 9 with 2 blocks. That's okay, but again, one game left this week, not a high priority ad. While Diallo's been clearly overtaken by Christian Wood. Ian Clark started for Frankie Jackson. He had 6 points with 2 threes, took some shots, 11 of them. Didn't hit him. Only 2 went in. They were both threes. So he had that opportunity with Jackson out. It just didn't work because, again, he's not that good. The next game that we take a look at here, we've got the Denver Nuggets blown out by the Rockets, 112-85. Very little to see from a Nuggets perspective here. Jokic and Murray were okay, but Gary Harris struggled again. He's not a 12-team league must-roster guy. Barton, we talked about already. Malik Beasley returned. But we had guys, Jared Vanderbilt playing, Wancho playing, Trey Lyles playing, guys who aren't regular rotation pieces. For the Rockets, Danny House, 0 for 5 shooting, 0 points. That's better English. This is the problem with House, is it's all to do with how that shot goes, and if it doesn't go in, he's not providing a huge amount else. He's just a deep league streamer. While Austin Rivers did the streaming value for the Rockets in this one, 15 points in 29 minutes with 3 threes and a steal and a block. That's high production from Rivers that won't be sustained. Jimmy Harden had 38, 6 and 6. Capella had a big 17 and 15 as well. While Eric Gordon bounced back from a real stinker to have 18 points, but I do not believe that Eric Gordon is a must roster guy. He can provide those points, he can provide those threes, just so we're looking at it on a purely per-game basis. I don't think that he's a must-roster guy, and with only one game left this week and then a Saturday-Sunday with no games on, it is a little bit tough to consider him a guy that has to be held in every format. The last game of the night was the Spurs getting the better of the Cavs, 116-110. Larry Nance, 28 minutes off the bench, but 13 and 11, 4 assists, 2 steals and a block. He's really good, and he's a must-roster player. In most situations, again, you worry about what Drew is going to do, but he has been taking Zizic out of the rotation, limiting Thompson, and getting Nance these minutes that he thoroughly deserves, and fantasy managers are really appreciative of. Over the last 2 weeks, Larry Nance is a top 25 player. The Cavs have one more game this week on Saturday, unfortunately, but then four games next week. Brandon Knight, one of his better games, 14 points, while the Padawan, Colin Sexton, I'm just going to keep saying this. Now, I think he started off 8 of 10 in this game. That did drop off to finish with 10 of 17 from the field, but 24 points is really good, and he's looking good in the shots going in. There's just nothing else. 2 rebounds and 3 assists with no defensive numbers. You get nothing else from this guy. The 3 threes is nice. The shooting is really good, and he is providing 12-team league value. But there's just not a lot else there, which I do think really does limit his upside. Osman had 9 points in 30 minutes. He's better as a streamer. For the Spurs, I think we can consider Derek White a drop at this point. I like him a lot, but he's in a slump, and you got to make hard decisions. 6 points with 4 assists and a triple one in only 20 minutes, while Bryn Forbes' line looks like a Derek White line. 19, 6, and 4 with 3 steals on 62% shooting. This is not Forbes. This is fluky. Do not get sucked into it and think that this is something that can continue. DeRozan had 25 with 8 assists, while Aldridge, it was a terrible night from Aldridge. 14 points in his 36 minutes, while Rudy Gay and Jakob Poeltl, probably both, don't deserve spots in 12-team leagues. All right, let's flick this over now to some DFS action. We will start by looking at the perfect lineups from Thursday's game on DraftKings. Dragic, the Iron Shoulder, Forbes, Middleton, Siakam, Embiid, Fox, Christian Wood, and Mitchie Robinson. Look at those two last names, Wood and Robinson. Total of 439.25, and that cost $49,800. And then on FanDuel, Dragic, Forbes, Ellington, Middleton, Justin Jackson, Antetokounmpo, Siakam, Wood, and Embiid for a total of 418.9, and that costs the full $60,000. Let's move on and preview these games now on DraftKings. Mainly, we're going to be focusing this 6 games on Friday. The first one is the Pacers traveling to take on the Boston Celtics. The Celtics are 6.5-point favorites, and the total is 214. Kyrie Irving should be back, but this is a first game of a back-to-back slate for the Celtics, so I guess we could see him resting. Al Horford, they're both probable to play here, but we just don't know that for sure at this point. At point guard, Irving is at 8,600. I love the tournament upside here for Kyrie, but it's hard to trust him in cash. Well, Darren Collison returned last game, only played 24 minutes, but at 5,600, I like the minutes to go back up here and the production to exceed 30. So I think he's a pretty strong value option here, Collison. Rozier would get that boost if Irving is out, and his salary has dropped all the way down to 5,100, making him a very strong cash lock if Kyrie does sit out. At shooting guard, Bojan Bogdanovic is at 5,800. I like that floor. I like the solidness of what he's been doing. That's strong to me. Jaylen Brown is struggling at this point, while Marcus Smart at 48. Love what Smart's been doing, especially if Kyrie is out. Thad Young's at 54 as a small forward. I think that's a strong cash play with some upside, but strong for cash. While Tatum's at 57, and his last couple of games have been pretty good as well, and I think that he is in play here. Gordon Hayward, probably not. Marcus Morris at 57, limited upside for Morris, and I just do worry about how that rotation's going to go. We don't know if Boston's going to go back to the Baines-Horford front court or if Morris will regain his starting spot. Speaking of the big man, Horford is at $6,000. Now, if he plays, I love that salary for Horf. That would make it strong. I also like Miles Turner at 6,000. Both of those guys seem really underpriced. Sabonis is at 62. Well, there are better options that you can use in Horford and Turner for a cheaper price, in fact. Over on FanDuel, I like Tatum at 65 over there. I think Marcus Morris at 52 is a pretty strong FanDuel play, as is Marcus Smart. Horford at 72 is elevated, obviously, but if he plays, I think there is some value there, but I'm not totally sold on him. Probably more tournaments. I think Collison at 63 looks pretty good, and Miles Turner at 77 might be a little bit high on FanDuel. Next game up, we got the Portland Trailblazers and the Atlanta Hawks. The Blazers are 3-point favorites on the road. The total, 233.5. Seth Curry has been providing really consistent numbers. Taurean Prince is doubtful for Atlanta. You're going to have CJ McCollum and, of course, Yusuf Nurkic out for the Blazers. At point guard, Trae Young's at 8,300. He is just consistently churning out 40-point games. He's averaging 48 over the last 5. I love him here in this one. While Seth Curry at 45, he's giving us 25-point games regularly. Massive value for both of those players. Lillard's at 10-1, and while I do like Damo at that salary, and it's a very, very good matchup for Lillard, who is coming off a poor performance against the Bulls. I prefer someone like Trae Young, saving myself $2,000. With Prince out, maybe Bazemore gets an extra chance at $3,800. Tournaments only, though. Hood, I'm not really caring for. While Fantapants, Kevin Huerter's at $4,100. With Prince out, I think this could help Huerter quite a bit, and that puts him at least into the tournament discussion. While DeAndre Bembry's at $3,900. He's already averaging 22 points over the last five, in large part due to the 36-pointer he had last game. But if Prince is out, that's going to open up more minutes and opportunity for Bembry. For these small forwards, Flaming Mo Harkless at $43, and the Chief, Al-Farouq Aminu.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
He's at 47. He's on a string of some pretty decent games here, Aminu, so that gives me an element of pause, but I do think that for tournaments there is something we can like with him. And then for the big men, where I think a lot of the value is, the Baptist John Collins at 6,900.
Giggity!
He fouled out last game, still put up 21 points. I think he can obviously be better than that. He could be a 40-pointer. I like him here. The Undertaker's at 56. He's been giving us 30-plus a night, so he has value. While Zach Collins at 44 had 25 in 25 minutes against the Bulls. This is a little bit of a different proposition. The Hawks are significantly better than the Bulls. So I think we look at him as a GPP guy. While Kanter at 5,500, I reckon that might be a little bit too high for Ennis, but it's a great matchup. He can really do damage against this Hawks team. More for tournaments. Alex Len, I'm not really going to get too excited with him. On FanDuel, I like Bembry. I like Trae Young at 87. Johnny Collins, Damo Lillard, Huerter and Bazemore as your GPP type options. Seth Curry's at 51. That might be a bit high, but I don't dislike it completely. While Kanter at 59 and Collins at 51. I think there's a lot of value taken away from both of those guys with those elevated salaries. The next game is the Denver Nuggets taking on the OKC Thunder. The Nuggets, that sounded really weird coming out of my mouth. The Nuggets are on a back-to-back on the road. The Thunder are 4.5-point favorites, and the total is 221. This is the best matchup of the day on paper. Paul George is questionable with a shoulder issue. The shoulder's been bothering him for weeks and weeks. If he is out, you're going to get Abdul Nadir, you're going to get Deonte Burton, but the guy who gets the biggest boost is going to be Jeremy Grant, and he would become a pretty strong option. At point guard, Westbrook's at 10-7. I like Westbrook irrespective of Paul George's status. Schroeder at 53. He also gets a big bump if George is out. Now, he was piss poor last game, but prior to that, he'd been really strong, so I think we can get back on his train. Well, the Blue Arrow down at 5,900, Jamal Murray. Had been struggled today, mainly because of the limited minutes, but had put together a couple of strong games before that. That salary is really appealing for Jamal. Monty Morris, Malik Beasley, they're no's from me. Shooting guard, Barton's at 47. He's only ever going to be a tournament guy, but he's obviously really struggling. Same with Gaz Harris. For the small forwards, the Beatle, Paul George at 9,700. If he plays, I really like that, but there's an element of risk there, of course. And then on to the big men. Steve Adams at 5,500. Love it. That's such a low price, and he had 52 points last game, especially if George is out. That's strong from Adams. Millsap is a fade from me. Jokic at 9,400. I think that's okay. I worry a little bit about the back-to-back here for Jokic, so maybe just for tournaments. Markieff and Plumlee, they're not going to really do much for me. Well, Jeremy Grant at 52, love it. Absolutely love it, and the value skyrockets if Paul George is out. On FanDuel, Schroeder, George, Westbrook, Adams, and Grant, I think they all have value in cash and in tournaments. Jokic at 10-5, probably more for GPPs, and Jamal Murray at 72. I just think you'll find better options than Murray around. The next game, the Warriors traveling to take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Warriors are 9.5-point favorites here. The total is 230. We're on blowout watch here for the Warriors stars. Taj Gibson's doubtful with his calf issues, so that boosts Dario Saric's value a little bit. At point guard, you've got Tyus Jones at 5,400. Really strong cash value. Probably limited tournament upside, but strong cash. While Steph's at 8,900. He had 61 in his last game. He's been a little bit down over the last little run of time, but point guards have done well against Minnesota of late. Steph's done well against Minnesota. He'd be a strong tournament guy at sub 9,000. But that risk of the blowout does limit his value. Clay's at 6,700. I'm not really interested in him. While Andy Wiggins is at 61. Limited upside, but his floor has actually been relatively solid lately. I think he can get to 30, which at 61 is not a bad... I think he can exceed 30, not a bad number. Josh Okogie is at 4,700. He's been a mid to high 20s guy recently, and that's okay at 4,700. This is a bit of a worry against the Warriors, but he has played okay against them so far this season. I don't mind him here. Not the highest priority guy, though. Well, Durant's at 8,800. Had a 50 in the last game. At 8,800, you've got to at least consider him. That's really cheap for a guy of his caliber. As for Saric at 4,700, Taj out actually puts him into cash discussion for me. And then you've got the other big men, like Boogie at 71. I actually love that for Boogie. That's a really great price. He's averaging 42 over his last five. In on that. In on Towns at 10-5 as well. While Draymond at 58. That's really strong for Draymond. Probably more tournaments, though. He's a little bit hit or miss, especially with the absolute disappearance of his offensive game this season. On FanDuel, Šarić at 52. That's a bit of a price jump for him, but I don't mind it. Durant at 95, Wiggins at 67, and Townsy, I think all value in those guys. Tyus at 65. I think that might be pushing a little bit on the upper end of where I'd be comfortable with using him. The Wizards and the Jazz in Utah. The Jazz are 12-point favorites. The total is 226. Will we get big Tom Bryant minutes again? He was excellent in the last game. Brooks has been a little bit up and down with his rotation, so that's something we do have to monitor here. At point guard, Satoransky's at 58. I really like the cash value for Thomas there. While Donny Mitchell at $8,000.
He's done. He's good.
He's been struggling. I would only use him as a tournament guy. Jordy McRae also went off last game, but I don't really see that as a repeating feature. At shooting guard, Jinglin Joe's at 58. Love his floor. Really, really good for cash. He's averaging 34 over the last five. Ingles in this matchup suits him a lot. While Beal at 9,300, I just worry that at some point he is going to see minutes reduced, and that would lean me to only have him as a tournament guy. Plus, it's a shit matchup for him. Trevor Ariza won't play. Troy Brown will start. Doesn't mean he'll be worth using because he won't be. A small forge, Jabari at 6,200. A big 53-pointer from Jabari last game. Absolutely massive. I actually feel okay about him as a cash option here. Royce O'Neal, Jeff Green, not really feeling too much with those guys.
My name is Jeff.
For the big man, Tom Bryant's up to 6,600. I think, look, the matchup's okay for him. There is a worry with foul trouble and Brooks's rotations, but I think that we got to at least have him in the GPP discussion. Gobert at 78, I absolutely love that. This matchup couldn't suit him better. Same with Favors at 5,800. Both those guys could exceed value comfortably. Punch Bob is a pretty strong fade for me, Bobby Portis. Over on FanDuel, Troy Brown's at minimum salary, so at least you've got to have him as a GPP guy. And Tom Bryant at 72, still more for tournaments. I like Satoransky for cash. I think Don Mitchell's decent enough on FanDuel at 85 in relativity to everyone else. And Jabari at 67, that might be just a little bit too high for Mr. Parker. Ingles at 7,000 is definitely too high. And Gobert at 10-3. I actually think that matchup, 10-3, is a decent enough price for Big Rudy. The last game of the day, the Hornets at the Lakers. The Hornets are 2-point favorites. The total, 225.5. A bunch of injury news here. Tyson Chandler is questionable. Reggie Bullock is questionable, while Mike Muscala and LeBron James are both probable. For the Hornets, Jeremy Lamb is probable, while Nick Batum is questionable and Tony Parker is questionable. Obviously, if Batum is out, we're giving a boost to Miles Bridges and Dwayne Bacon. If Tyson Chandler's out, it's John Williams and Flaming Mo Wagner. And if Bullock's out, it's Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Lance Stevenson who get that boost there. At point guard, Rondo's at 5,800. It's been underperforming, so the salary's coming down. I'd only consider it in tournaments. Devontae Graham at 34. He would have been okay if Lamb had have missed, but Lamb looks like he'll play. While Alex Caruso at 42. If Bullock is out, maybe for tournaments, but even then, I don't feel great about that. At shooting guard, KCP's at 49. Shit the bed last game. I expect a bounce back. I think that's a strong price for him. Bacon's at 43. Really killing it. I think that he's good for cash, but massive tournament upside as well at that low, low salary. Batum's a fade, and Lamb at 6,000. I would have to leave that one well alone. As for Lance Stevenson at 4,100, he started in place of LeBron and played 30 minutes and had 25 points. I won't be going with him. I will be going with Miles Bridges at 4,900. I really like that, with the potential of Batum sitting as well. Marvin Williams, no. Kuzma at 6,300. I don't really feel that with him. While LeBron at 10-3, his minutes have been 34 a game over the last week, despite the game he's sat out. I think that he can get 50 here. He has eviscerated the Hornets in the past. I think 50-plus for LeBron is realistic. And then for centers, JaVale McGee's been crushing it. He's at $7,000. Love him on DraftKings. Bill Hernan Gomez at 36. He's actually been a good low-end cash play, averaging 23 over the last five. Cody Zeller's out again. He's interesting there. Limited upside with how the minutes are getting distributed. While Frank the Tank Kaminsky, Bismack Biyombo, Flaming Mo Wagner, I don't really see much value in any of those guys. On FanDuel, Bridges I like at 55. JaVale's up to 8,000. That's pushing it a bit, but it's not outrageous. I like what he's doing. You can at least consider him. I like Kemba. I like Kemba on DraftKings as well. Should have mentioned that. I like LeBron. I like KCP. And Bacon's at 47. There's still value in him over on FanDuel. Let's look at some studs and values now. On DraftKings, my stud is Trae Young and my value is DeAndre Bembry, a couple of Atlanta guys. On FanDuel, it's Paul George as a stud if he plays, and the value play there is Bembry. On Yahoo, the stud is Trae Young and the value play is minimum salary Enes Kanter. That I can get behind. And on DraftStars, the stud is Westbrook and the value play is Tom Bryant, who's at a ludicrously low price over on DraftStars. Make sure, guys, you are subscribing to this podcast on the new Himalaya podcast app or Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or on Spotify. Follow me on Twitter at @redrock_bball. Good luck to you guys in the final few days of your finals matchup or semifinals matchup or Roto League, whatever it is. Good luck. Hope you win. Same on DFS as well. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Jaren Jackson Jr.